Thank you so much for allowing me to share God's word with you today. Thank you, people of Hope Springs and the others who may be watching. God is with you. I want to encourage you. I've been studying the book of Ephesians for several months now, really just coming to God with that question. Lord, show me more about the church. Teach me about the church. And Ephesians is a book in the Bible that really tells us a lot about God's heart for the church and what the church is to be. And so I want to share that. We're starting a new sermon series here today, and it's called Discipleship in the Church. And so Ephesus, where the Ephesian church was located, Ephesus was thought to have been the second most important Roman city, just behind Rome itself, located on the western coast of what today is Turkey. It was considered to be the most important city in Asia Minor. And Paul saw great success there in his ministry. And there's an incredible movement of God there in the early church that really found traction in the city of Ephesus. And then the church really grew and became just an incredible movement right there in that city. Paul spent a little over 2 years there, and therefore he could write this letter to them in a very a deep theological way. If you've ever read the book of Ephesus, you know it's a very deep book. And it's thought that Paul wrote Ephesus while he was in prison in Rome around 62 AD. Now, he wrote Colossians close to that time. Colossians is about Christ Jesus being the head of the church. Philippians is written near that time, was another epistle written by Paul, and it was about what is possible in Christ. Philemon is a book written by Paul about our ability to impact the world. And lastly, Ephesians, again around 62 AD, delivered to the church at Ephesus, was about the body and the future bride of Christ. It's about the church, a book about the church. And so the church is in chapter 1, a body; chapter 2, a temple; chapter 3, a mystery; chapter 4, a new man; chapter 5, the church will be a bride, the bride of Christ; and chapter 6, the church as a soldier. And so I feel led to share with you and teach on discipleship and the church from the book of Ephesus. And a disciple is one who has placed their faith in Jesus and has decided to follow him, allowing him to teach and to lead. Allowing Jesus to teach and to lead. And Jesus has called us to go into all the world and make disciples. And so that's what a disciple is. You know, in the local church is a group of believers who have chosen to be discipled together. You know, a group of believers who've chosen to be discipled together. That's what the church is, to be the body of Christ in a location under the leadership of Jesus, you know, unified under Christ. And so nearly everything that I'm reading from trusted theologians is that we in the West have made the individual aspect of Christianity too important. You know, we've made everything about faith, we've made it all about the individual when there's so much more that God wants to focus on in the context of the church as believers come together corporately, that we need to put more emphasis on the believers together, not just individually as important, but we need to put more emphasis on us collectively as the body of Christ, as believers coming together. Just as everything in our world is individually wrapped, we have become individually wrapped in the church. We must refocus on the opening words of Jesus's prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven." It begins with not "my Father," but "our Father." And we have to realize how important the collective nature of the church is, that it's so important that we come together as the body of Christ, as we are the church together, as the people of God. And the Holy Spirit longs to put us back together. The Holy Spirit longs to make us a strong church, a unified church, where we come under the headship of Jesus and allow him to lead us as the the King of the Kingdom and the bride. The church is the bride of Christ, the groom, and as he is the leader of us corporately. And so I want to read to you from Ephesians 1, verses 1 and 2. This letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I'm writing to God's holy people in Ephesus who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. And so we know the Ephesian church was a faithful group of believers who are being discipled by Jesus together, who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. So here Paul's writing to a strong church, disciples choosing to be discipled together. They're faithful followers of Jesus. And Paul continues, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we're united with Christ. Verse 4, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He's so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave our sins. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. And so as followers of Jesus, as disciples, we're blessed and we're chosen. Verse 7 said that he paid a price for our forgiveness and freedom. Jesus paid a huge price for us to be free and forgiven on the cross. We worship him for that. And verse 5 says he's adopted us. He's made us family. We're part of the family of God. And so this is the basis for our discipleship, what Jesus has done on the cross. And Paul's to letting us know, hey, we get to be disciples because of what Jesus has done. And we're not called just to be disciples individually, but corporately to come together as the church, as the bride. And so in verse 9, in the body of Christ, in verse 9, it says, God has now revealed to us his mysterious plan regarding Christ. A plan to fulfill his own good pleasure. And this is the plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us in advance, and he makes everything work out according to his plan. God's purpose was that we Jews who were the first to trust in Christ would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own. That's why I believe by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus is so important. When you believed in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom he promised long ago. The Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised and that he has purchased us to be his own people. He did this so that we would praise and glorify him. Did you catch that? He purchased us to be his own people. He wants us to be collectively his people, to file in under his leadership, to come and worship him as one, as the people of God. And so God has a plan. And at just the right time, we can trust in this, at just the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of Christ, everything on heaven and everything on earth. And he's given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee of our inheritance, of all he wants to do. It's a guarantee, it's a sign, it's a evidence that God is going to do so much. And here's the down payment, here's the guarantee, the Bible says, that God's going to do it all that he's promised, and to show that we have been purchased as his own people. We together have been purchased as God's own people, and this should lead us to praise. We talked about that last week, that we should be a people of praise. We should be worshiping God hour after waking hour, just thanking God for what he's done, and that leads us to joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so in verse 15, we see part of Paul's prayer life in verse 15. And the Bible says this, "Ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance." You know, and so Paul says, hey, I've heard stories. And this, in verse 15, I've heard stories of you as a group of disciples who have strong faith in Ephesus. I've heard stories of the strong faith in Jesus that you have in Ephesus. And I've also heard of stories of your love for God's people and your love for people. And so Paul is saying, hey, this is a faithful church in Ephesus, and they have a strong faith in Jesus, and they have a strong love for God's people. In verse 17, Paul speaks of his prayer life, and he's praying for this local congregation. He's praying for this church in Ephesus to have spiritual wisdom and insight. What a great prayer for every church, and for us to be praying as a church, that we would have spiritual wisdom and insight in order to grow in the knowledge of God, to grow in the experiential knowledge of God. We need to pray that as a church, one of the paths that we can take to grow stronger as a church is to pray for spiritual wisdom and spiritual insight to grow in experiential knowledge of God. It's so important in becoming a strong church. And in verse 18, he mentions that we need to have confident hope, that confident expectation for each of us whom he has called his holy people. And I love this. Verse 18 is just earth-shaking. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Did you catch that? Amazing. He is saying this, that these people that God has chosen. Verse 18, let me read you this about the church. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, church, so that you can understand the confident hope, the confident expectation he has given to those he called. His holy people who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Did you catch that? His inheritance. The church is God's inheritance. That's earth shaking. That we, as the collective body of Christ, that we as the church are God's inheritance. It's amazing that God would think of us in that way, that he would think of us as his inheritance. It's amazing. I hope that moves you today, that you are part of God's inheritance, as you are part of the church, part of the global church. We are God's inheritance. That is so humbling and joy-filled, and it's so encouraging, and it helps us to realize how much God really does love us, and how much God really does love his church, and how much he is really in the center of the church and desires the church's success and efficiency and joy. Is that God considers the church his inheritance. Man, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood sweat. I mean, that we would be considered the inheritance of God. It's just incredible. That verse alone could change your life, to realize that God considers you as part of the church his inheritance. Amazing. And it makes me want to live at a higher level as a believer. It makes me want to live sold out for God. It makes me want to live and for Jesus, and to give everything for Jesus, that he would consider me part of his inheritance. It's amazing. And it calls us to a deeper walk with God. It calls us to a deeper commitment to God. And so I pray that you take verse 18 with you today and realize that you are the inheritance of God as part of the church. In verse 19 through 23, Paul concludes this amazing chapter. I know there's so much more. We're moving quickly through this chapter, but please go back and read it again and ask God to speak to you in Ephesians 1. We're going to spend the next few weeks in Ephesians. In verse 19, Paul says this, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. He's saying, I pray. That's another part of Paul's prayer life for the church. I pray. And it's something that we should be praying for the church, for our local congregation, and for the global church. I also pray that you'll understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. God's power is at work in the church. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's incredible power, earth-shaking power, life-giving power, power that brings us into the glorious realities of heaven. He says, this is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Verse 21. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else. He's far above anything. Jesus is far above. His power is so far above. It's unbelievable, his power. Now, he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. We can trust his power. In verse 22, God the Father has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. God wants the church to benefit. God's desires for the church. God loves the church. The church is Jesus's idea. You know, Jesus called the church my church. You know, Jesus loves the church. And he says the gates of hell will not prevail against his church. And Jesus is head over all things for the benefit of the church. And verse 23, and the church is his body. Here we go. Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul is helping us discern what church is, what church really means, what is so special about church. And Paul says, the church is his body. The church is Jesus's body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And so Jesus is the head of the church. He's the king. He's our leader. He's the one we're following. He's the one who's discipling us and drawing us near. In verse 23, and the church is his body. The church is the body of Christ. And the body, it's made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. And God's power makes all this possible. You know, we're called to be the body of Christ. We're called to be the hands and feet of Jesus. We're called to do the work of God in the world. We're called to be the ones who carry the message of the gospel to others. We're to be the hands that bless and heal and encourage and minister and touch others with the love of Jesus. We're called to be that action in the world for God, to be the body that carries on his desires and his will in this world. We're the body of Christ. It's so powerful to think about that. And God's power makes this possible. And so to wrap this message up today, I want us to consider in broad strokes what this whole first chapter of Ephesians says, and get the big picture of what God is saying in the book of Ephesians about being a disciple and about being the church. So let's start first as being a disciple, as an individual. God would like you to know about being a disciple. Number one, know you're chosen. Know you're chosen, that you're loved by God in Christ. What more could Jesus do than give his life on the cross for you? What more could God do than to give his one and only son for you? That his desire is for you and his love is for you, and it's a love that's unthinkable, but it's real and it's true. And so know you're chosen by God. He desires you. Know that you're bought with a price as a believer if you've placed your faith and trust in Christ. Know that you're bought with a price, the precious blood of Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity to receive Christ even now. Pray this prayer with me if you've never done it. It's the foundational prayer for your life. Pray with me if you'd like to receive Jesus. Lord Jesus, Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you that I can be forgiven because you gave your life for mine and that you offer me your righteousness. And so, Lord Jesus, please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life and be the leader of my life and lead me forward. Be my teacher. I want to follow you. Be my leader. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you've prayed that prayer, you've become a Christian. You become a disciple of Jesus. Begin to read the New Testament, read the book of John, and allow Jesus to teach you and to lead you forward. And we as a church, we as Hope Springs, want to encourage you, whether it be online or in person at our church building. We want to encourage you and walk with you and help you grow as a believer. But as an individual disciple, know that you're chosen. Know that you're bought with the price, the precious blood of Jesus. Know that you're blessed with every blessing, with every spiritual blessing, because Jesus lives within you through the person of his Spirit, that you're blessed, that you're called to mission, that your life is not irrelevant, that you have a spiritual gift, you have a mission in this world, you have a place in this world that only you can fill, and God wants to use you in a mighty way. You're called to mission, and you're called to be faithful to the Lord Jesus. Be faithful unto him and live for him. And that is in a broad sweeps what it's called, a broad stroke, what's called to be a disciple. And now in a broad stroke, I want to paint a picture of what it means to be the church. As the church, we're called as individual disciples to come together and to be unified under Christ together. We're called to be disciples, being discipled together. We're called to be part of God's plan. God has a plan, and the church has a part to play in that plan, and we need to join in and play our part. We need to be partakers of his Spirit. He's given us his Spirit as a guarantee of things to come, and we're called to host his presence, to be carriers of divine presence as the church, a place where God's Spirit lives. We're called to be a people of praise, that we as the church are to be continually praising God. We're called collectively to a strong faith together, to have a strong faith together, to have a strong love for others, to be filled with divine wisdom that leads to an experiential knowledge of God. We're to have divine wisdom and insight that leads to an experiential knowledge of God and that helps others experience God. Incredibly, we're defined collectively as God's inheritance. That's who we are as the church. We're God's inheritance as the church. It's incredible to think about. I can't believe just the amazing implications of that truth, that we are God's inheritance. Amazing. And as the body of Christ, we're unified under the leadership of Jesus. We're the body of Christ. That's what it means to be the church, the body that carries out the will of the headship of Jesus. We're called to do his will in the world. And so in this very first segment of Ephesians chapter 1, I want to encourage you today. This is what it means to be a disciple. This is what it means to be the church. I want to encourage you, be the church, be connected to the body. We want to be there for you. If you have prayer needs, please let me know. We're praying for you, praying for wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God. We're praying for you to know God's power. We're praying for you to truly experience the power of discipleship and a walk with God. And so I'd love to pray for you. Lord, I pray for those watching for fresh faith, for revival, for encouragement, for a tangible sense of your presence and your nearness. I pray that you'd speak to them as they read your word. I pray for those who prayed the prayer of salvation, God, that they would know that they're born again and that you love them and you're with them, God. And I pray that you grow them stronger in you. Bless them, Lord God. Let their faith grow quickly. And God, I just pray that you would bless each and every person watching. Fill them up. Light them a fresh fire in their hearts. Fill them with your Spirit and draw us all closer to you. We thank you for this day. We worship you and we praise you. Thank you for all those listening. And I pray your blessing over each one. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.